Many Americans have a picture in their minds about the rise and fall of Detroit, the prosperous home of American industrialization, and then the stunning decline that left the city bankrupt and its people motivated to move away. That's a brief outline, but it turns out there's much, much more to Detroit's story.
What I wanted to do in this book was to actually look at the earliest moments of Detroit's formation and think about it in a different way, and to try to see the people who were actually being exploited, whose labor was being stolen in the process of developing this place.
That's Taya Miles, a professor at the University of Michigan and author of The Dawn of Detroit, A Chronicle of Slavery and Freedom in the City of the Straits. Taya Miles sat down with WNYC's Rebecca Carroll as part of our book series, Reading the Reckoning.
Hey, Taya.
Hi, Rebecca.
So I want to just get right started to it. How did you arrive at the story, or what drew you to it?
I was drawn to the story because of what was surrounding me living here in Michigan over the last 6 to 10 years. On the one hand, there were all of these national narratives circulating that were quite negative about Detroit. Detroit was being figured as a place of ruin, a place that was corrupt, and the bankruptcy of the city in 2013 only added to all of the negativity that was going on in conversations about the city. And I experienced this just as someone who was often traveling through the Detroit airport and on flights going around the country. When people learned that I was flying back to Detroit, they would ask me questions about, oh my goodness, how bad is it there? So Detroit was really getting a lot of unfair, negative, even I think libelous press.
And so what did your sort of findings about Detroit in the 18th century, what can it tell us about Detroit in the 21st century?
The similarities are actually a little bit haunting,
right.
I think.
Right.
Because in the 18th century, first of all, Detroit was an indigenous place. And then the French decided to start a fur trading military fort on the Detroit River. French settlers came in, and then when the French lost a big war to Great Britain, British settlers came in. And then, as we know, the British lost a big war to the Americans, and the American settlers came in. And throughout these various processes of colonialism, numerous people were doing their best to grab indigenous land and to make a profit through that land by using enslaved labor. Detroit was being perceived as an empty place that was just there for the taking. And if you were a white man from New York, if you were a merchant, if you were able to get a government position and get your hands on some native land, you could really set yourself up and your family up for life in Detroit. And the similarities that I see really have to do with the way in which Detroit has, again, in our moment, been imagined as a place that is empty,
mm-hmm.
a place that has lost thousands of residents, a place where there are vacant lots,
mm-hmm.
and a place that needs to be claimed and transformed by outsiders with capital.
How do you feel like our education system is doing at teaching American history, particularly as it pertains to slave history?
Well, I had the good fortune of being able to work with students at the University of Michigan as I did research on this book and as I was writing it. And so I sort of had a ready-made audience and community of thinkers to share my research with as it developed. And during this stage, I was actually a little bit worried, a little concerned that students from the Detroit area, because we have many on campus, might actually feel that studying this topic would be just another example of hanging out Detroit's dirty laundry for outsiders to peer at. But they didn't have that view at all. They actually were really moved by the material, wanted to dive in, and some of them continued to do research with me about it after the end of our class. And I think the emotion that they shared the most was really outrage.
Mm.
They were offended. They were shocked that they had grown up in this place and walked the streets where enslaved people of indigenous and African descent had walked and labored and never heard a word about it.
Mm-hmm.
So they were angry. And instead of thinking that this was more negativity about Detroit, they interpreted it as a story that shows the great strength of people of color in Detroit. The ways in which, even though they were deprived of their liberty, they were able to fight against their oppressors to eventually gain their freedom and to help build the city that was later viewed as a great metropolis.
That's so interesting how, you know, even when we unveil these stories that more often than not have, you know, these kind of similar tent poles of colonization and haves and have-nots and, you know, racial denigration and whatnot, that they're out of that, the learning of that comes a kind of power in the anger and the rage and a kind of pride as well. You know, I don't know Detroit well, but the people that I do know from Detroit are extremely proud of their city. And I can understand as you're talking how learning about the history of it, particularly this history, would add to that sense of pride.
I have been struck by the reaction, feeling like this book provided evidence of something that they always knew was there, but couldn't quite put their finger on.
Mm-hmm.
So one woman said that she's really glad that this book has shown where corruption really began in Detroit. It didn't begin with the black politicians, who are often held up as scapegoats in the national media or in popular imagination. It actually began with white explorers,
mm-hmm.
white military officials, white merchants, white traders, who then became politicians in Detroit.
I love how you said, you know, that you've talked to some folks in Detroit who have, you know, learned about this book and of their history, and that they always knew something was there. It's like the force, you know. It's like there's something there. We just didn't know quite what it is. And I do think that in this country, black and brown people especially feel like there's something there that keeps us going, and we just have to tap into it. And so I think that you've done that with this book, and I thank you for doing that and for taking the time to talk with me.
Thanks a lot, Rebecca.
WNYC's Rebecca Carroll there in conversation with Taya Miles about her book, The Dawn of Detroit, A Chronicle of Slavery and Freedom in the City of the Straits.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.